My Heart by Canadian country artist Mariah Stokes. Mariah Stokes has made her presence known here in the Canadian country music with her continued chart-topping music, release after release. Mariah has released 4 singles to Canadian country radio, starting with her debut release, Hands on My Body, in 2019. She has received Country Music Alberta nominations and awards, and even hosted the Canadian Country Music Alberta Awards show in 2020 with George Canyon. Mariah is performing at one of the biggest stages here in Canada, and that is the Cavendish Beach Music Festival on Thursday, July 7th. The Cavendish Beach Music Festival 2022 runs from July 7th to the 9th and includes performers like Luke Holmes, Darius Rucker, Dustin Lynch, Lindsay L., Hunter Brothers, Tennille Arts, Aaron Goodvin, Tyler Joe Miller, Jess Moskalut, Kelly Prescott, Nice Horse, and so many more. Here to talk about her new music and Cavendish Beach Music Festival is country artist, singer-songwriter Mariah Stokes. Hi, Mariah.
Hey, Kim. How you doing?
Good. How about you? It is so great to have you on the show. I've been meaning to do this for a while. You have got an incredible voice, girl.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I've been singing since I was a little kid, and it's one of the only skills I really tried to develop, so that means a lot.
Well, as a singer-songwriter too, you really know how to deliver the lyrics that really connect with all of us, especially the empowerment that you love to, you know, you're always supporting, you know, the empowerment of women, and that's so important today. So important.
Yeah, absolutely. A big part of why I do this thing, for sure. It's kind of one of those things where I feel like sometimes, especially in country music, women's stories have been kind of limited, I guess, if that makes sense, unless mm-hmm. you look back. And I feel like that the women that really make an impact are Dolly Parton and Loretta Lynn and the folks that kind of aren't afraid to really be honest in their lyrics and in their songwriting.
Has it always been easy for you to write?
I don't know if I would say that it was easy, but it was always a compulsion, if that makes sense. I have journaled since I was a little kid, and it was funny. I picked up a guitar when I was about 14, and then after that, the second thing I did after I learned a G chord, an A chord, and a D chord was write my first song. So it wasn't, I wouldn't even say necessarily that it was easy, but I would say that it was almost necessary.
Well, I know that it's a way too. Like, I know a lot of us that are so creative, it's an easy way for us to be able to either, you know, you start out journaling, or, you know, they would either act on stage and things like that. It's just like that creative side. You always need something. But a lot of other people write for, it's just a way of being able to express yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny that you bring up even just like acting on stage. When I was in junior high, that was a thing that I did as well. It was a little bit of theater. I didn't ever pursue it, but anything creative is kind of where I lean to, absolutely. And I feel like with writing and with acting or performing or anything creative, it's just such an interesting way to process emotions and mm-hmm. feelings, and also connect with complete strangers so quickly and really viscerally. And there's not a lot of mediums, I think, that do that quite mm-hmm. like art, whatever your medium is, you know?
So true. So true. What were your influences in music growing up?
Well, I grew up in a tiny little town called Stavely, Alberta, about an hour south of Calgary. And I used to sit on the steps right outside the bar room and watch all of the bands come through town. I was like 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
And my dad was, yeah, it was really cool. And my dad, he was a drummer in a bar band and hosted a jam every Friday night in our little local hometown bar. And I used to sneak in on Friday afternoons and sing with the band. And I think it was goofy. I literally grew up in a bar, which is kind of fun. So I ended up, just kind of sneaking in that way, which was a blast. And then started singing anthems at my, local rodeos and things like that, and baby showers. And from there, it just kind of grew. But a lot of the music that we listened to were kind of the classics. So Johnny Cash, The Chicks, anything that was easy to jam is kind of where I started.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that classic music is like, music has evolved so much, especially in country. What's it been like for you trying to navigate what your sound was going to be?
You know, it's funny. I get that question a lot. I don't know if I've nailed what my sound is going to be, because when I think about recording or diving into the production side of music, I have so many influences outside of country music itself. And so for me, when I'm navigating being in the studio, I look more at what the song needs, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Rather than looking at what's going to fit, how do we bring this retro kind of 70s thing back that I focus on, or fit, you know, a platform that maybe we're aiming for, like radio or streaming. Instead of thinking like that, my production team and I really try to focus on how do we deliver the message of the song in the best way possible. And we don't really worry too much about trying to fit anything, which I think can sometimes be a little bit confusing for listeners, because I'm sure, Kim, if you've checked out my songs, each one of them is so completely different from the last.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really focused on what I'm trying to say and serving that message more than, fitting into something that maybe doesn't feel like me, if that makes sense. Yeah.
I really like that, because you're not afraid to step outside the walls, you know, of country, and being able to just, you know, experience what the lyrics are supposed to do and deliver exactly what the lyrics are saying, and being able to be creative on that end of it. And you're working with some amazing producers. Like, they don't get any better, you know, Juno Award winners. Like, these guys are just incredible for Justin Cutting, as well as, you know, when you're looking
Spencer
at space.
Jean,
And I've talked about them so often on this show, and they definitely really break down those walls of what we think we can do with a song. They know how to deliver.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. Well, and especially, they both have a lot of live experience as players. Justin is a bass player and an amazing singer as well. And Spencer is a drummer, but he also has spent the last, I think, like 15 years developing his skills as a mixing engineer as mm-hmm. well, which is very handy. And they think about music very differently. And so as a team, their strengths really complement each other. And I really like that when we're in studio, it's so collaborative. Mm-hmm. They really listen to my ideas. They try out my ideas. Sometimes they don't work, but they're always willing to kind of give it a shot. And it's interesting. They just really take the time to serve the song and figure out what it needs.
Well, it helps you to develop too, your creativity and where you can go with your music, especially your writing. And, you know, if they allow you to do that, which is awesome, which I know they always have, they're really behind the artists that they work with. And it's just so nice to see that, because it allows you to just really explore that vulnerable side of yourself and what you want the song to say.
Definitely. Well, oh my gosh. You want to talk vulnerable. When I was recording Rebound, it was interesting. We were recording Rebound vocals the same day that we were recording Break My Heart. And for mm-hmm. anybody who hasn't heard either of those songs, they're very different. Break My Heart is like an upbeat, kind of fun, swaggy. I would almost say like it's like 90s country harmonies with a little bit of almost R&B influence groove, which is super fun. And then Rebound is sad and as stripped down as it gets, and like just acoustic guitar basically, and a really raw vocal. But how we got that vocal is we started singing it, and Spencer was like, Mariah, like you're singing nice, but you're in your head. I can hear you thinking about notes. You need to sing more like a storyteller and less like a vocalist. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Okay, I can try that. Okay, I got to get out of my way. And then he was like, okay, well, how about this? Let's work on Break My Heart. But like, we're having a good time. Let's just shoot some tequila. It'll be fun. You can just like take a shot or two, get back in the booth. You'll be good to go. So I'm like, all right, let's do it. So I have a shot of tequila or two and get back in the booth and sing Break My Heart down one time, feeling sassy and fun. And then he's like, cool, now we're going to go back to Rebound. And he like, and the worst part, oh my gosh, Kim, he knew like the backstory behind that song and the whole situation and where it came from. So he started like from the talk back mic whispering the stuff like, well, we knew like you were pretending to hide and say that you were fine, but we knew you were really messed up at that point in your life and blah, 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 blah. And like actually made me cry a little bit. And
oh, wow.
That's how we got the vocal take. It was incredible. And I think I sang him and his wife I sang their wedding dance song live at their wedding, and we're really, really good friends. And I think if we didn't have a relationship like that, where we were actually not only, you know, collaborators and working on music together, but also like very close friends, mm-hmm. I don't think we would have had that performance delivered the way it was. So yeah, that was a huge credit to Spencer and Justin. Yeah,
that's so cool.
Yeah, Kim, is it cool?
Just going, hang on, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know what? They know how to deliver and they know how to bring that out in you, because a lot of the time we do stand in our own way. And
oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. And if you don't break down those walls to deliver what that song is all about, what you wrote that song about, and we don't even know what, like you probably sitting back and going, I don't even know what I'm capable of, but that's, they see that in you already. And that's amazing as producers to be able to connect with you like that, know what you're capable of. And they're bringing that out more and more with every single song.
Hey, I really appreciate that. And I'm glad that you feel the same way about those two as I do, because my sound would not be what it is. And I definitely would not be where I am musically or in my career without their belief from day one.
Mm-hmm. Because you started with them, what, 2019, when you did Hands on Your Body. That was your debut single back then. Yeah. It's such an like Annika is incredible. I love her to pieces. And she can deliver same as you can, you know, when it comes to being able to talk about the lyrics, not afraid to go there. And
that's why, yeah, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but the fact that you just compared me to Annika is like the biggest compliment you could give me. She's one of the most incredible vocalists mm-hmm. and storytellers I know. Anyway, sorry, continue. I just got a little excited.
Well, you've got that capability vocally without question. She's just so comfortable in her own skin, and that you're going to develop as you're going, and the further that you go in this journey. Like, this is just what, your fourth single that you've released to date, you know, on Canadian country radio, and you've got such an incredible future ahead of you. I hope you know that.
Oh, that's very kind, and I appreciate you saying that. I don't have other plans. I'm in this marathon of music for life, and I think every time I release, I just want to grow a little more and work with some people that I like and keep exploring the messages that we're getting across and the stories that we're trying to tell. So I don't think I'm going to be going anywhere anytime soon.
I hope not. Because you are just one of those voices, and you're one of those songwriters that, you know, are going to stand that test of time. Because when you can go to those places that are vulnerable, those places that are real, the reasons why you wrote to begin with, remember that. Remember the reasons why you're writing that song, why writing was such a, you know, an avenue for you to be able to express yourself, thoughts that you had, feelings that you had, why, you know, that's the key in staying there and being able to just remember that when you're singing, just, you know, just picture yourself there, the reasons why you wrote it.
Yeah, it's I have actually a Pinterest board that's literally called Why I Started, and it's just a bunch of quotes basically about what you're talking about. And actually, and I have a box in my closet of all the old songs that I wrote when I was, you know, a teenager and just getting started. And I feel like that's the easiest way to almost get regrounded once mm-hmm. I get a little ungrounded, because that absolutely happens. And there's definitely ups and downs in music and in art of any kind and life in general. But yeah, remembering the roots are definitely one of those things that kind of bring you back down to earth and at least help me continue moving forward and keep trying to make better art every day.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring it back, you know, to the beginning, because this is the first time that I've had you on the show. I like to dig deep.
Love it. Do. So into it.
Yeah. So a lot of the artists talk about, you know, growing up in small towns, the one that come from small towns, and how that has really helped them to connect to songwriting to begin with, to be able to express themselves and be more vulnerable in that way, speaking from the heart, you know, becomes easier somehow. What's that been like for you?
I think that my community has definitely been a huge foundation, just of building the foundation of who I am as an artist and the art that I'm creating. But I think that who I am is probably even a bigger impact. Mm-hmm. It's funny. Last weekend, I went down to Clairsville, Alberta, which is where I went to high school, because my town was a little bit too small to even have a high school. And we played a show, and it was so wild to reconnect with everyone that I grew up around. And I know sometimes when people get into the music business in small towns, or anywhere, actually, it's a very strange career choice. And sometimes there's not always a lot of support from the community around you. And mm-hmm. I found where I'm from, I had the exact opposite. I had so many people that cheered me on from day one and have stayed, you know, behind me as this thing has grown and moved. And I would say that foundation is really, really, really helpful, because I know regardless of what happens or where I go, I have those people that are always rooting for me, and it gives me the confidence to continue moving forward. Now, that said, I'm from a small town, and my first single was called Hands on My Body, and that was a little uncomfortable.
That must have been, like, nerve-wracking.
Yeah, because everybody has known me since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, as my dad would say, and I'm like, okay, and now I'm a full-grown woman. How do you like me now?
Yeah, here
but
I am.
Again, it was, right, but it's funny, even my grandparents, I remember talking to my grandma about it, and explaining to her kind of what the song was about, and that, yes, this is the messaging, but it's about self-empowerment and having the confidence to ask for what you want and consent. And she was like, I could get behind that. Like, that sounds nice. I'm glad you're doing that. And I think she's the best. There was a lot of fear, I think, of almost being a kid and then, you know, growing up and being like, this is actually where I live and where I stand and the values that I have. And I've found actually that the response has been really positive to that, because it does come from a place of integrity, I guess, to start. And yeah, people, if they were uncomfortable or they did think it was a little weird, they didn't say it to me. So that's fine with me.
You are speaking for so many. Girl, you just had the guts to do it. That's the thing. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with my very special guest, country artist Mariah Stokes, here on Music's Journey. We are back. I'm your host, Kim Sear, and I am chatting with my very special guest, country artist Mariah Stokes. Yeah, girl, there's so many that want to take that leap. Let's face it, we grow up a lot quicker, females.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we're deeper. We think, you know, in that way. And, you know, all the guys are going to be out there going, oh, hell yes, they do. You know, we have to, because half the time when we're younger, you know, especially in small towns, you know, we're looking after so many different things at a very young age. We're not just, you know, young girls growing up. We got to take on, you know, sometimes adult roles and
big time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, you know, like that's a big part of it. But being able to express that in the way that you did in that song. You know what? Congratulations. There's just nothing else we can say other than kudos,
hey,
girl. That was so good. That must have been a huge hurdle for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you dig it. It was funny, actually, when I was sitting down with Spencer and Justin, initially my production team, and we were talking about songs that we might record. I didn't even show them Hands on My Body because I was like, oh, this is too edgy. This is too much. And it was funny. One of my co-writers was there and he was like, well, show them Hands on My Body. Like, I really dig that song. I think it's good. And I was like, okay. So I showed it, and Spencer and Justin were like, yeah, I think that's your first single. I think that's the one that we're going to record. And I was like, oh my gosh, you guys are wild. Like, you think that's the debut? Like, that's aggressive. And Spencer thought about it. And I think we were driving somewhere in a car. And he just looks at me and he goes, you know why you don't want to release that? It's because it's the most authentic version of you, mm-hmm. and because you can stand behind it, and because it's really uncomfortable, and that's who you are. So I think you should own it. And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, yep, that clicks. That totally checks out. I can't hide in that song. And that's where it started. But it's interesting, I think, also starting with that song in my career, because again, when we think about country and just like even traditional gender roles within country music, there's been a lot of changes in the mm-hmm. last 10, 15 years, but there's still a little bit of a stigma where you're kind of like, either, you know, the bad gal, or you're like the nice girl next door. And I just don't think that women are so one-dimensional. I think we're a multitude of things, and sometimes different things in different spaces. And that's kind of what I dig about, you know, the art that I create, is I don't think you have to, I have to be one or the other. I'd really like to be all of the above and show all the different sides, because I think all of us have those sides.
I think so. And you really tapped into to something there, because women in music industry, period, have always had a tough time. And even though we have so many women in country music right now, especially Canada, that are breaking down so many doors, we still got a long way to go. Have a long way to go. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And all we can do is, keep moving forward and keep having these conversations. Because change is happening. It's happening slowly, but it is happening. And I'm really grateful for that.
And I think that the more women that are being recognized on radio today, I think it's just such an empowering movement, because there's so many young girls that are sitting there that write poetry, that sit there and want to write songs. And, you know, they might be 9 and 10 years old, that are sitting there going, I want to do this, because they're moved and hearing songs that, you know, mean something to them and how they feel inside today. And we want to be able to encourage with these empowering songs, these women that are on radio today. And if they don't hear women, then how are they ever going to follow that dream? If they're not hearing very many women, they're thinking that, oh, you know, I just got to stick to writing my journals, or I can't really chase this right now, you know?
Absolutely. And if you think back to, you know, the early 2000s and the late 90s and even the mid, before kind of 2010, the women that were being played on the radio were Martine McBride. And that gal is not afraid to say what she thinks and dives into some topics.
Gretchen Wilson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Chicks, Shania Twain, even.
And there's just so many, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that definitely impacted me, and also the generation of women who are coming up at the same time as I am. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where we started. And we were really, really, and I don't want to speak for all the women in country, but I'm guessing that most of us were pretty impacted by a lot of those songs. And it really informed a lot of the art that we're creating now and the musical choices that we're making. And so it's really great to see like women now also still doing that, and hopefully the next generation feels inspired and like they're welcomed with open arms, and that there's room for everybody in country music, because there is.
Well, and you see how much impact, you know, certain writers have had just over in the last, you know, 20 years, and you're looking at that movement that has started and being able to talk about subjects that we really need to, because let's face it, if we step outside of our comfort zones, you know, as parents or, you know, as individuals, and we're looking at what's actually going on in the schools, how young it's going on in the schools, it's been going on a long time. And it's something that we should have been talking about a long time ago. And, you know, talking about this stuff is really connecting with that younger generation right now. So that's why I like seeing this type of writing. And it's really important, because I used to teach so much in the schools, and it's just, yeah, you have no idea what they actually go through and what they're experiencing. And we just kind of put blind eye, you know, to a lot of that stuff, because we just don't want to deal with it, or we don't even hear about it, you know, let alone deal with it. But is there a song that touched you, or an artist that touched you, that stands out to you, that you remember as a young girl that you connected with going, that made you want to take pen to paper?
Yeah, there are a couple, actually. The first ones that popped in, when I was really young, Independence Day by Martina McBride was such an impactful song. And the interesting thing for me is I didn't realize how impactful it was until later on in life. I took a songwriting workshop with Gretchen Peters, who is a writer on the song, and she talked about the meaning behind it and where it came from. And that hit me so hard, because it was such a monster hit. And I don't even know if most of the people, including myself, knew what that song was actually about and really listened to the lyrics, because the melodies were so great. Mm-hmm. But listening back, I was like, oh my gosh, she did such an incredible job. Both of them did. of A, telling this story in a way where people can hear it because the melody is so strong that whether you're listening or not, you may not even know what the song's about, but you dig the melody. And then when you dig a little bit deeper and you find out what the song is about, it hits you like a ton of bricks. That's a big one.
Oh yeah.
And
a lot of people catch on to the tune, or they're singing the lyrics. They know them word for word, but they actually don't really know the song.
Totally.
And, yeah. It happens all the time. And especially today too, I imagine song hits real quick. And that's the thing with the streaming platforms now. People don't listen from front to back. They don't know the next song that's playing on an album. It's just not the same thing as what it was when we were listening to music back when we were younger. You know, how we would listen to an album, how we would pay attention to the lyrics better than what we do
definitely
today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and I think that almost even depends on the listener base, because there is definitely a listener base out there that is living for lyrics, and that's what they focus on.
Yeah.
But I would say the general, you know, most general audiences are listening for melody, and I think that's what, the Michelle Wright song, and also the Martina McBride song did really well, is they had incredible melodies and really great musicality. So by the time people actually started paying attention to the lyrics, whether they wanted to or not, it just they were already kind of in the story because of the melody.
True.
And it's the interesting thing about songwriting, for sure.
I know. It's just so fascinating when we look at the difference in what streaming platforms have done now, and how like a song will hit real quick, but then they're on to the next. And that's why it's so difficult, you know, to, you know, as a younger artist coming up right now to, you know, do I release just singles? You know, do I release like just a 4 EP song or like album, or, you know, it's just, it's a hard decision now, and being, you know, very strategic in how you release your music.
Definitely. Well, and the other thing is you can make a plan and be like, this is how it's going to go. And then one song starts doing well and you're like, okay, this is going to change. We're going to do it differently now. So it's a strategy and flexibility, I think, go hand in hand in the music, the music scene, for sure.
Boy, do you ever, right?
Absolutely. Oh. I feel like you've probably had that conversation with a few artists.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Now we're gonna play Rebound, but let's just go back to that one for a minute and exploring, you know, falling in love with somebody emotionally that's emotionally unavailable. You know, how many times do we come across that in our lifetime? And watch our friends do it, you know, and we're trying to advise them, you know. It's just, we see it all the time.
Definitely. Yeah, it's that song is interesting. I think I tried to write that one like 14 times before I actually figured out what I wanted to say. I came into a writer's room with Aaron Pollock with the first line of the chorus, which is, she's the one that you get when the one that got away is already gone. Mm-hmm. And I'm usually like a heavy editor. I take a few sessions to write songs a lot of the time, but we came in with that line and that song poured out in about, it was somewhere between 45 minutes and an hour.
Oh,
it was
wow.
really quick. And we did no edits. I tried to edit it and Aaron was like, no, we're not editing this. This is what it needs to be. And I think the interesting thing to me about this song is that all of the other versions of this story I had tried to write before were angry and resentful. And this was almost a third person. I was able to take a step back and have compassion for everyone in the situation.
So seeing it from both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still sad. It's still like, it's still an awful position to be in, but it's an awful position to be in whether you're the rebound or the reboundee. And that is really what spoke to me about what still speaks to me about the song, is just the lack of anger, which I like writing angry songs. They're pretty fun and they feel good to sing.
They're the easiest ones, I bet, in some ways.
Yeah, right, absolutely. But anger is always, I read somewhere that anger is a secondary emotion that covers something else. And
it's
so I think anger has a place, but it was an emotional breakthrough for me because I was able to get past the anger and actually look at what was underneath.
That's why I like it, because it's that complexity. It, you know, it's just, I really like that exploration of what the emotions were that led underneath all of that, and taking a look at both sides and being able to understand both perspectives. That's what was really cool. It's a really good song. Really love this one.
Hey, thank you. Thanks very much.
We're going to play this one right now. Here is Rebound by country artist, multi-award winner Mariah Stokes, here on Music's Journey.
replaced. She'll come over, but she won't stay. Cause when you're dreaming, it's not a face. Second best plan to help you understand where things went wrong. A band-aid for your broken heart. Hold you together when you fall apart. But she won't hold you down. She's a rebound. She'll say you're ex.
That was Rebound, the third single released by my very special guest, country artist Mariah Stokes, who released this song back in 2020, really solidifying her place in Canadian country music as an artist to watch with her powerful lyrics and her incredible vocal delivery on the song. Writing songs can be pretty powerful, and this is one of them. So don't forget, you can download Rebound, you can share it on your playlist, and you can also request it at your local country radio station. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with my very special guest, country artist Mariah Stokes, here on Music's Journey. We are back. I'm your host, Kim Sear, and I am chatting with my very special guest, country artist Mariah Stokes. Writing songs can be so therapeutic for so many reasons. Now, taking your personal life, is that where you get your inspiration from in writing these songs, or is it watching people and, you know, being around people, getting that inspiration?
I would say all of the above, absolutely. I have a hook book in my phone, and it's just a little section of notes. And anytime I'm inspired or I hear a phrase that resonates with me, I write it down. And then half the time I look back on my notes and I am like, a horse jumped a fence. I don't know what that means or what the idea was behind it, but it's in my phone. And that's like 80% of the ideas, but then 20% of them are like, okay, this could maybe be something. So some of it comes from, yeah, it's just how it goes. Or a line from a movie, but I don't write down what the movie is, so I forget the context of the line that I liked and why I liked it. It totally happens all the time. But yeah, I would say as a writer, it's definitely my personal experience, but also no one around me is safe. I wrote a song actually with an artist from the East Coast not too long ago called
Ben Chase.
Not Ben Chase, but did write one with him too, and he may or may not be recording it. I cannot confirm or deny, but that is also a thing that is happening. It's another artist. Her name is Brooke, and we wrote a song, but she came in with this really beautiful melody and kind of an idea for the song. And I had a friend who actually, she was seeing this guy and had seen him on and off since we were in high school and just like couldn't quit. And she would see him and then she would not tell us. And then we would kind of find out, my friends and I, like our friend group, and we would be like, this is so bad for you, you should quit. And then I used that experience on my end of the writing process write her story about her and her ex-boyfriend, her on and off again ex-boyfriend. And I had a bachelorette party a few weeks ago with one of my other best friends who's getting married, and got a mix of the song and showed it to them, and my friend like kind of cried a little bit. It was good. She knows, like, I wouldn't ever violate her boundaries or intentionally try to hurt her, but I think it actually hit her because it was in first person and this artist was singing it, but it was her story. And actually the funny thing is after I played it for her, she had some critical feedback on, you know, the lyric, and you know, maybe we could go a little bit deeper here because it's her nice. story. So
See, I'm telling you, she's probably going, oh man, I can feel every single note of this song. Yeah,
totally.
See, you and I are going to have to get together. I got a lot for you.
Oh my gosh. I need to hear all the stories and all the secrets. We'll turn them into songs and I won't tell anybody. There you go. It'll be great.
There you go. I got a lot That's for awesome. You, girl. Boy, do I got a lot for you.
I love it. That's awesome.
You've also written some songs that were cut by, you know, Leaving Thomas. And, you know, Devin Cooper reminds me, like when I think of him and when I had him on the show, he's so incredible. His head, you know, just everything he thinks of. And just
he's very, very smart. Yeah.
Oh, is he ever? And, you know, coming from a small town too, you know, it's just the way that he looked at life, you know, coming from a small town. And that's what I loved about him, is because he took that where so many kids I knew, you know, when I was growing up, just couldn't wait to get out of the small town, wanted nothing to do with it, never wanted to visit it again. And he took it in the opposite approach. And it sounds like you've done the same, you know, taking that small town approach and really looking at the beauty in it and what was there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think especially coming from a small town, you learn, I guess, that, well, I know that I learned watching the people around me growing up that community is everything, and that we all rise together. I know there were times where people would have health issues or get in an accident and the community would rally together and fundraise and really support those people. And my dad always said that what you put into a community, you will get back. You never expect anything ever, but if you put time into a community, they will probably put time into you as well when you need it. And I've carried that with me my whole life. And
that's
it's a true thing though. If you volunteer on all of the, you know, to go and be on the fire department, or, you know, you're part of the Elks, or, you know, you're cleaning up after a community event, people really appreciate that and want to, you know, and want to let you know that they also appreciate it. And that, you know, it takes a community to make the thing go.
And it's true. There's so much that goes on in our own backyards, but we really appreciate hard work. We really appreciate the ethics about the values of life and caring about one another in a different way.
Totally. Well, and even within country music, that is such a strong lyrical statement and just a value, I think, that comes through in the music. It's a lot of it is about rural life and small towns and communities and three chords in the truth and small town living. Definitely amplifies that a little bit.
100%. Social media too. I wanted to talk to you about that too, because what has been the hardest thing for you, you know, to deal with going through this whole music business? Because it can be pretty tough on you. And how do you keep yourself active, on social media, but also being able to keep yourself in check too?
Definitely. I would say, well, the start of 2020 it was a really weird time for everyone and a really hard time for a lot of people. And I know that when all of my live shows were canceled, which is kind of how I keep my brain stable. I didn't realize that until the pandemic hit, how much I relied on the dopamine and the adrenaline from playing live to keep me kind of level. Basically what happened was the pandemic began, and my roommate and I, who's actually also from Stavely, we decided that we were going to start live streaming. We'd heard a lot of stories about parents who were at home working and were also doing childcare full time. And we were, you know, at home with our cat, and just, that was already kind of hard being, you know, in our little house together and loving each other very, very much. But I cannot imagine being a parent in that time. And so we were like, okay, here's what we'll do. I'm a musician. I can learn some children's songs. My roommate Elena, she had a tickle trunk full of costumes. Don't ask me how, don't ask me why. We're grown women. And she had, I don't even know how many costumes she had. And anyway, so we decided to build this live stream where we would dress up in goofy costumes every week. We called it Fire with Mariah and Elena. And we would pick a theme and sing songs within that theme and build a script. And it really kept us busy in between my co-writing online and all of those things and the virtual shows. That kept us busy, and it was really wonderful and a great time. We would live stream every Monday.
Oh, that's
and
so cool.
Yeah, so that kind of kept us balanced. But then later on, when things started opening up a little bit, it was interesting because I think I was so focused on delivering this live stream. We were doing it twice a week and staying on top of things and staying positive that I hadn't really processed the grief that came with all of the momentum that we had built in 2019. And I know, I'm sure and we all had it. It's not special to me. It's all of us. Every person probably had a very similar feeling where everything that we had planned had kind of came to a crashing halt. And I became less active actually on socials for a little while. I would say that my biggest struggle is when I'm not feeling 100% or I'm feeling emotionally reactive, I have to check myself and not post. And I did actually post a few times reactively without actually processing kind of what I was thinking about, especially in the past few years. And I had to take a sec with myself and be like, okay, we are going to say what we mean and stand behind our values, but also it has to come from a genuine settled place for a second sometimes. And also from a place where I'm actually listening as much as I'm speaking instead of yelling into a void. And I think, learning how to manage my emotions on socials, and I'm not like, it's not like a thing that happens all the time, but when I get emotionally reactive, I'm like, hey, or I'm not feeling good or I'm feeling sad, I have to take a step back. So managing the momentum and continuing to post and put content up and share my journey with everyone while being honest, and genuine, that has been a challenge, and I'm figuring that out.
It just takes a little bit of time and practice, and I think just with social media, it's just so easy just to go out there and just say something, you know, when it comes to something without thinking about it, right?
Definitely. Well, and even just when I'm not feeling 100%, if I'm feeling a little sad or I'm struggling personally, I post less because I don't, again, I don't like to be ingenuine and be like, oh, things are so good, I'm feeling awesome, when I'm like, I feel like trash. Like, I don't want to lie to people.
Yeah.
So the past few years I've been on and off with how active I've been on socials. I post at least once a month usually, but I needed to take a little bit of time, I think, just to get my head on straight and actually just to grieve, you know, what 2020 was. And there were some really beautiful moments and some huge highlights. It was a difficult time for everybody. And I don't feel like for me, it's productive I believe in positivity, but I don't think it's the only emotion. So kind of comes back to the songwriting thing again too.
And I think it's okay. And that's the one message that is really important to say here. It's like it's okay to not be in a positive place all the time. We have to look at the silver lining and how we work through things for one thing. But at the same time, it's okay to be hurting. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to be happy. It's okay to have that. That's a part of who we are. That's how we learn. And that's how we navigate through life, right? And so, we can't always be positive. So when you're seeing that all the time, it's not real. Like, we have to be honest with each other, and we all struggle, and it's okay to voice that.
big time. And I think especially having a public platform and mm-hmm. sharing those things, for me, when I share my struggles, I want to be in a place where a negative comment isn't going to punch me in the gut, where mm-hmm. I can feel solid in where I'm at and who I am and how I'm feeling about whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So that when those comments come, even if people are intending to be harmful or they're not, sometimes things hit you a little strange. And so I try to make sure that I'm in a space where I can hear, again, where I can hear the people and can hear the feedback and can take the tools that work mm-hmm. for me and the ones that don't. But yeah, it just, it's a whole learning process being part of an online community, and, 100%. And changes all the time. So it's almost also, it's social media is so wild, and I am so grateful for it because it has allowed so much, more freedom for artists and distribution, and being able to reach fans directly is amazing. And also I have a huge respect for folks who are influencers, because it's a literal full-time job mm-hmm. to be good at social media. And it's a whole full-time job. So big respect to the influencers who are making content 24/7, because that's a lot of work.
Oh, trust me, I know.
I'm sure
I run a magazine on top of it. So it's just like, yeah, everything that I do, it's just, it's a lot of work. And it's just, absolutely. Yeah, heavy, heavy workload. There's no doubt about it. Let's talk about your latest single, Break My Heart. I absolutely love this song because you're flipping the script once again for us females out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a goofy song. That one is so funny. I was actually in a bar waiting for a ride after like a co-write or something. My car was in the shop or something. And I was sitting there and I looked up and there was this beautiful bartender. He looked like a 50s greaser, like the slick back hair and the pinup tattoo and like some sort of attitude. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's so beautiful. And then Hurt So Good by John Mellencamp was playing on the over the speakers. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the moment. I don't know what's happening right now. I should probably go talk to this human. But instead, I'm going to sit on my phone and write a detailed description about like what he looks like and this energy that's coming from this John Mellencamp song. Basically Break My Heart was written about what I wish I would have said to that bartender, because we didn't really talk, but it was like one of those moments where I was like, hey, if I had the guts, I would do this. And now I'd like to think that if I saw him again, I could show him the song and be like, hey, what do you think? You're the muse. What do you think? So that's where that one came from. But it absolutely is about kind of in a similar almost vein as Hands on My Body, mm-hmm. but in a little bit of a different way, where it's just about like, hey, I'm going to just say what I'm thinking and feeling, and you let me know how you're thinking and feeling. And
not being afraid to say how you're thinking and feeling, and being the first one to do it. Yeah.
And your gender has nothing to do with that. It's exactly. just what it is. So.
We're going to play this one right now. Here is the latest single, Break My Heart, by country artist Mariah Stokes, here on Music's Journey.
Leather jacket, leaning on the bar with your slick back hair. Probably play guitar like your whiskey neat and your Marlboro Red. James Dean, back from the dead. Will you travel? And I wanna know more. You're something I haven't had before. I'm catching vibes, baby. I can see that you're wild. By your side, we smile. Break my heart. Take me to your Harley and let's ride. Well, I want you, but I'm not your honey. I'll give you a run for your money. Baby, you're bad news and I should probably beware. Come.
That was Break My Heart. You can get this one on all streaming platforms. That is by country artist Mariah Stokes, an empowering song that was produced by Juno Award winners Spencer Cheen and also Justin Cutting. This one is dripping with attitude and solidified Stokes' commitment to empowering women. And it's just so important. And she's been doing it and telling the stories. And this one does exactly that. So don't forget, you can download Rebound as well as Break My Heart on all streaming platforms. Share them on your playlists, because there's so many listeners out there that check out your playlists that are from other countries. So it's so cool when they get to hear new music. And you can also request the songs at your local country radio station. You are so good. I'm telling you, you just keep writing songs like that. And man, we're going to be listening to you for a very long time.
I don't think I have a choice. We're going to just keep going. So hopefully they continue to get better. That's the dream.
Now, you also, I want to make sure that we're talking about the organizations and, you know, communities that matter to you, because you've also been using your platform like I do here and giving a voice to organizations and causes that help. And you've really had an impact on quite a few of the organizations. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was one of the artists in residence at the Women's Center of Calgary in 2020 and continue to do work with them. They are a low barrier access or support system in Calgary for women. So when you go to the Women's Center, you don't have to prove your income. You can access a community of folks, whether you need a lawyer or you want to attend a yoga class or you need childcare after school. That's a really important place that has a huge spot in my heart. And with that, actually, I did some work as the artist in residence with a program within the Women's Center called Girls Lead YYC. And nice. It's junior. Yeah, it's wild. I learned so much from those gals. They're girls that are between the ages of, I think, like 12 and 15. And we did a songwriting workshop and just talked about a few songwriting workshops, but talked about how writing can help us process emotions and really be a safe space for us to dive into our feelings. And whether you want to share that or not, it's just something that's just for you. And that was incredible. These girls, like, I can't even, their awareness of the world and
told ya.
And literally it's wild, like their awareness of the world, their leadership skills, their communication skills, they were so ahead of where mm-hmm. I was at that age. And it was an absolute pleasure to sit down and actually write some empowering songs with them. We wrote a couple so songs cool. as a group and some individually. Yeah, that's one that's really close to my heart.
Leaders is not the word. They are leaps and bounds above leaders.
That's actually true. They're almost innovators, mm-hmm. I would say. Mm-hmm. And they're not scared. That's the other thing. They're the girls that I was working with, they were hungry. They were ready to go and really willing to not only speak their beliefs but take action that mm-hmm. would put their beliefs into actual action. And that was wild and really amazing to see.
Yeah, it's pretty inspiring, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with my very special guest, country artist Mariah Stokes, here on Music's Journey. We are back. I'm your host, Kim Sear, and I am chatting with my very special guest, country artist Mariah Stokes. I'm going to be working with quite a few of the artists this year using this platform to make change.
Amazing.
And trying to go back to what I used to do, but incorporating the music at the same time. So I'm going to be working with Nice Horse and a few of the other bands.
Oh, I was just with Nice Horse today. They're coming over. Actually, two of the Nice Horse gals are coming to my house tonight because they're playing with me at Cavendish Beach Music Festival.
That's what we're about to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're heading to PEI this week. You guys, it's going to be on the 7th that you guys are going to be playing. And that is one of the biggest country stages here in Canada, the Cavendish Beach Music Festival presented by Bell, that's running from the 7th to the 9th. And man, what a fantastic lineup they have this year. Coming back into music festivals, it's just, you know what, they're hitting the ground running with this one. Man, they've got some huge, huge artists that are going to be there. There's three different stages each day. Headlining for the festival is Luke Holmes. That is going to be, he's already sold out for his show. And also we got Darris Rucker that's going to be on the 8th, and Dustin Lynch is headlining on the 9th. On the 7th, you also are going to see the Cadillac 3, one of my favorite bands. Mackenzie Porter, the Hunter Brothers, Kelly Prescott, also we've had on the show. We've had both of them on the show and talking about this, and that's on the Bell stage. But then on the Colliding Tides Kitchen stage, such a cool name, mm-hmm. we got Nice Horse who's headlining, and I absolutely love those girls. And of course, my very special guest, Mariah Stokes, and also so many more incredible artists that are going to be on the 7th. Some amazing shows. They are stacked for this show. Stacked for it.
Absolutely. Also, I have to ask, okay, I did not know you were a Cadillac Tree fan, Kim.
Ooh,
I
love
am
them.
The most excited to see them. I love them. Which record
nice.
Of theirs, or like which song is your favorite? What do you like?
Oh,
what you
gosh.
Think?
There is so many. Their latest single, I absolutely love too, but I love their earlier stuff. I don't know about you. Like, which one's yours?
You know, it's funny. Actually, we were talking about Devin Cooper earlier, and Devin loves the Cadillac 3 and introduced me to their music.
Yes.
Oh, big time. Yeah. And it was funny. I liked them, but I didn't love them until they released Tabasco and Sweet
mm-hmm.
Tea.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's their second last record, I think. And I have listened to that record probably 100 times. I think when we're talking about music production and really pushing the boundaries of what country can be, it's so funky, it's so greasy, and the lyrics are a little bit ridiculous even, mm-hmm. but that's part of the joy.
That's
and,
what I liked about it. That's what I loved about it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're incredible. I am so excited to see them live.
You must be so stoked. Are you gonna approach or try?
Yeah, I think so. Actually, Devin Cooper is playing guitar in my band as well, and he knows Kelby from the Cadillac 3. Yeah.
Ooh, so this
so
one's
we're gonna
this
have
one's
a beer
not
with them.
Just gonna be a manifest. This is gonna happen.
I think so. I'm really like it was funny. I was talking to Devin about it, and he's like, "You gotta not fangirl." And I was like, "I can't guarantee that that's gonna happen, Devin. I'm gonna try to make you look cool, but I'm not making any promises." Oh my goodness,
that's too funny. That's too funny.
Yeah.
They are such awesome. An influence for so many. I don't even think they realize how many people they've influenced as artists here in Canada.
Totally. Yeah. They're definitely a few people's favorite bands for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, like I've done Cavendish several times now, but the last one that I did, I was working with Daughtry at the time. And
oh, cool.
Yeah. And being able to go backstage and just do the interviews for them. But I also spent like 9 days working, doing all the lighthouses for the tourism for PEI. And just going from one end of the island to the other end of the island and taking all the photos and just how they, you know, so many things that they do for their racehorses. It's just like, it was just so many interesting things, but the people are so amazing. And the organizers for this event are so incredible. And you're going to see how welcoming they are. And it's just, yeah, the people are just amazing in PEI.
I'm very, very much looking forward, yeah, to playing Cavendish and also to just, yeah, being around the energy of the people and seeing PEI itself. I haven't ever visited the Maritimes.
Ooh.
And I know, I'm very much looking forward to it. So if you have any recommendations on something that we can check out in the less than 72 hours that we're there, I would love to hear them.
The beaches, like the dunes. There's some
Perfect.
Amazing little shops there. There's one in particular that's by the dunes. And it's very famous, you know, to go in there. But it's just amazing. I spent a lot of my time, I guess, just really, because I like going and traveling. When I travel, I like to be able to really experience life, like the
you know,
the culture, the people. So I spent a lot of the time on the Fisherman's Wharf, just seeing everything that they do there, you know, just talking to them. And I took so many black and whites. It's just, I usually do color, but I did a lot of black and whites just experiencing their life, and it just did really well. And their racehorses, how they take the racehorses and how they exercise them in the river, and they really take it seriously. Yeah. And Anna Green Gables, of course, a lot of people go
yes.
for that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely.
For sure.
I just love the countryside. I just loved seeing all the lighthouses and the stories behind them. So that was my thing.
I can't wait to check out. And my aunt actually really loves the light horses. I'm thinking of Nice Horse and lighthouses at the same time, I think. Oh my gosh. Yeah, but she loved the nice oh my gosh, I did it again. What is happening? She loved the lighthouses. That's the word I was looking for. So much that she married a Newfie. So I'm excited to go. Yeah, it was cute. So I'm excited to go take some pictures by those and see some of the history as well.
Mm-hmm. There's some pretty special spots, you know, that you got to check out. Yeah, but I know it was raining the whole time I was there. And then the very last day I was there for the Cavendish, as soon as it started, I went and got my first lobster, and it's there's nothing like PEI lobster. And same thing with their clams and all of that stuff, their oysters. You know, they have fields and fields of those, so you can go out in the boats to see all that stuff too. So it's like really cool. Beautiful country.
Yes, definitely.
Beautiful, beautiful country.
I've heard a lot from Ben Chase, because he's from there, as we said earlier. He's from PEI originally, but he moved out to Alberta and is actually here for the summer again to play some shows. But he has filled me in, and I think his sister is actually coming to pick me up and is going to take me on a little tour of PEI as well. So I'll get a local tour guide, which is going to be amazing.
And a lot of the little places that you can stop in, you know, that have their little bars and stuff like that, those are the coolest places to visit. And hearing stories that way, you're going to have a lot of songs to write.
I think so. Well, and there's something about being by the ocean too that kind of it inspires creativity. I don't know what that is, but it's a real thing.
Same thing for me. That's how I can shed 4 years of stress just in, you know, one day by the water.
Whew.
Yeah.
I could use that. I'm looking forward to that part of the trip for sure.
Oh, let's hope you can do that. That'll be so cool. But are you going to stay for you'd be staying right through to the 9th?
I totally wish I was. We're actually flying in on the 6th. We're playing on the 7th, and then we're home on the 8th because actually the gal who's at bachelor party I was at earlier, she's getting married on the 10th. So, and I'm in the bridal party and singing as she walks down the aisle. Yeah. So it was one of those things where I was like, oh my goodness, I would love to stay for the whole time, but I'm hoping she only gets married once. I really like the guy she's with, and I don't want to miss this one. So,
well, I'm hoping that you get to see just a little bit, even if you just get to go to the sand dunes and just, the cliffs there are just incredible. And just being able to see that is just pretty, pretty nice. It's a pretty special place. Nice.
Yeah.
Really nice. Okay. So now you're going to be opening. You've got Madeline Marlowe you're going to be doing as well.
Yeah. That's opening for Madeline Marlowe. Totally. On July 12th. With Hero's Tent for Stampede. Stampede is going to be wild. That's the other thing is we do Cavendish and then a wedding and then we're right into Stampede, which for musicians in Calgary is absolutely the busiest time of the year. So that's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to opening for her.
And it's so cool because they got Canadians and Americans that are going to be playing now again, because last year, you know, Stampede went, you know, it went on, but it was only Canadians that were allowed to play. It was the first time that ever happened, you know, just because of the pandemic and the borders being closed. But now the borders are open and everybody gets to play. So it's going to be a really cool year. And you're going to be playing at Nashville North, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm there from the 14th to the 17th. We're doing 4 days, which will be a blast, and definitely, it'll be one of the most fun runs of the summer. The next 2 weeks between Cavendish and Whiskey Rose and Nashville North, and also, having the Americans back is going to be great. I really did appreciate the all Canadian lineup last year.
Yeah, it was cool.
We did. We did Nashville North as well, and they had a lot of the day bands were. A lot of locals as well that just hadn't had the opportunity to play the stage before, and it was really, really rad of Stampede to invest in their local scene so much. That was really incredible, especially after the previous year or 2 years, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was unprecedented for sure, you know, and it was just really nice to be able to see that kind of caliber coming from Canada. It just gave a lot of the other artists an opportunity to be able to hit those stages, those iconic stages. And yeah, it was a really cool. Yeah, really, really cool. Now, you also have been in the studio.
I have been in the studio,
Working with Justin again and Spencer Cheen. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so we're working on a record, which is exciting. This time, instead of doing singles, we are still going to release singles, but I really think it's important to me to have a body of work. And so we have 2 songs already in the mastering process. We're recording 3 more in August, and then we're going to play it by ear. There are a couple other producers I also may be working with, nothing has been confirmed yet, so that may or may not be a thing. But yeah, we're gonna do a record, and it's going to be based in country storytelling and lots of acoustic instruments. But we are not shying away from playing with genre and playing with more pop-focused sounds and more jazz-focused sounds. And again, the thing I said earlier about really serving the songs, we are serving the songs 1,000%.
Oh, so cool. Promise you're going to come back.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not leaving country. I'm just deviating.
I mean coming
songs
on the show, because I want to hear all about it and talk about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would absolutely love to come back. Thank you for having me, Kim. It's been an absolute pleasure getting to know you and chatting.
Oh, I love being able to dig in. And girl, you know, I'm such a huge fan, and I am cheering for you 100%. It's going to be really cool to see you in 5 years, to where you're at and what you've accomplished.
Oh, that means a lot. I'm very interested to hear your thoughts on the next songs that come out. They're like hands on my body, but one of them is like hands on my body, but more aggressive and not about hand. I could tell you the title if you want.
Yes, tell me.
There's a swear word that I'm not going to use, but one of the songs is called F Pretty.
Nice.
And it's about beauty standards and how they're dumb.
Oh, girl. Ooh, we're going to have fun with this one when you come on the show, aren't we?
Yeah, I think it'll be a good time. It's the most aggressive and direct that I've been, and I'm really excited about the song. So
I'm excited for you, so excited for you, and so excited about what Canadians are going to gain just to be able to listen to your music. And yeah, you're making Canada proud, girl.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks so much, Kim.
I am looking forward to having you back. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Kick some ass. I'm going to say it. There you go. Just kick some ass on Cavendish, okay? And
that's
at the
plan.
Calgary Stampede. So it's going to be so cool.
Definitely. And I'll keep you in the loop as the record progresses, and maybe send you a few sneak peeks of some mixes if you'd like.
Love it. Sounds good to me.
Awesome.
Sounds good to me. All right. Say hi to the girls for me and tell them to kick some ass for me.
Absolutely. You have a great evening, and we'll talk to you soon, Kim.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
All right. You take care. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye. Again, that is the Cavendish Beach Music Festival presented by Bell, coming on July 7th to the 9th, with Mariah Stokes is performing on the Thursday, July 7th, on the Colliding Tides Kitchen Stage. Also performing at the Cavendish is Luke Holmes, Darius Rucker, Dustin Lynch, the Cadillac 3, Mackenzie Porter, Stephen Lee Olson, the Washboard Union, Kelly Prescott, Tyler Joe Miller, Nice Horse, Jess Moskalut, and so many more. This is one stacked lineup for this legendary festival that is back this year, and boy oh boy, what a show. You can get tickets and more information at the CavendishBeachMusic.com. A great big thank you to my very special guest, country artist, singer-songwriter, multi-award winner, Mariah Stokes, for coming on the show. I've got some amazing artists that I'm going to be interviewing for the month of July. I'll be chatting with Kelly Prescott, Nice Horse, Sean Austin, Allie Walker, Katie Hurt, Emma Peterson, Quentin Blair, Cadence Grace, High Valley, rock band Taming Sorry, Weapons, Matt Rogers, Australian country artist Haley Jensen, The Prairie State, Emerson Drive, Gil Grand, Simone Miller, Dustin Bird, Kadu, Michelle Wright, Craig Moritz, Anthony Tulo, Jay Walker, and so many more. Don't forget, you can catch all my shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.
Come on over, baby. I bring a bottle of wine. We'll smoke a little Mary Jane. Start the night. I got vinyl on the shelf. I've been dying to play. I'm turning off my phone. I want to do the same.
that you want me. Show me that you want me, baby. Hands on my body. Come on, so strong. But there's just something about you, oh yeah, that turns me on. Oh, well, come on, baby, I've been waiting just to get you alone. And if you wanna make me happy, here's what you need to know. I want your hands on my body, hands on my body, baby, hands on my body, hands on my body, baby, show me that you want me. Show me that you want me, baby. Hands on my body. I want your hands on my body, hands on my body, baby, hands on my body, hands on my body, baby, show me that you want me, show me that you want me, hands on my body.